We started the year out with the theme of open our eyes to the Lord and be able to see Him high and lifted up. And when we express those types of words, that we enjoy teaching and admonishing one another with the words that we sing. And with that, it's talking about asking God to open up our heart so that He will be able to enter in, that He will be able to mold, that He will be able to guide what our lives are to become in His name. And we understand that as we remember Jesus and as we do that together, and what He has done and how much love it took Jesus to leave heaven to come. I mean, my destination is that I'm looking forward to heaven. He had to leave heaven. And then He went back to heaven. But He had to come down here to go through the same things that we go through so that we could have that common bond with Him and with each other in our belief with Him. And when He's lifted high and we see Him on the cross, we see His love. We see His love for you and I because He did it just for you. He did it so that you would have an avenue to go to know that you could have a cleansing and a washing and a forgiveness that will allow you to have eternal life. And so that's our theme for the year. I pray that our eyes are being open, that our eyes of our heart are being open. I mean, we're midway through the year right now. And one of the things that we need to see is that as God showed His love to us, He wants to tell us, and He had modeled through Jesus, what kind of love we should have for each other. Now, I have a feeling, if I took a microphone and walked around and just asked you, do you love the person sitting right next to you? You'd probably say, well, yes. Well, especially if they're a family member, or if they're a daughter, if they're a wife, or their husband. You know, we kind of expect that'd be kind of hard to hear somebody that says, no, I don't actually do. But how does our love match what we say? Love is an action like belief is an action. We can say we believe, we can say we love, but it's followed up by action. It's followed up by how we treat. And so when we see Jesus high and lifted up, we see His love. And we're thankful for that love, right? We need that kind of love. I mean, sometimes I question, how does God love me? Why? I wouldn't love myself. I don't know. If I had a relationship with just myself, I would get mad and angry and upset at me. Me would not get along with me. And so why would God send His one and only Son down in order to so that I could have life and I could have life together with you? Church, I pray that our eyes are being opened to our heart of what kind of life that the Bible teaches for us to have together. It's not about a come to just one meeting a week, shake your hand and say, I love you. Actually, sometimes we don't even say that, do we? I mean, when's the last time you actually gave somebody a handshake or a hug or a pat on the back and saying, I just want you to know one thing. I love you. I love you. And I want to be able to express that in action when possible. And if we're all doing that together, and we're all looking out for one another, and not relying on other people to do our love for us, then that starts binding us together in the Lord. Because the Lord loved us that way. If we're being disciples, we're being learners and followers of the Lord. We're being learners and followers of His love. Jesus loved the unlovable. He loved people. He loved all the priests and all the people that He met that knew the Word of God but misunderstood the Word of God. He loved the Samaritan woman, even though she had a reputation. He loved her. He loved the one that was caught in adultery, even though He did not condone the action of adultery because that would separate her from God. But he also said to everybody there, by law, yeah, you have the right to stone, but if there's anybody else who's never sinned, you go ahead and throw the first one. Well, who could have thrown the first one? Him. Jesus did not throw any stones. What did He condone? No. Did He condemn the sin? He did. And He asked her, go and sin no more. And so that's His love. That's His love for you and I. That's His love that needs to be expressed in our relationships. You know what this community needs? More churches that people say, I don't know, they may not be the most perfect people, but I tell you one thing, they sure do love each other. They can't get enough of each other. They want to be together. See, sometimes people come to assemblies like this because they say, by law, they have to in order to please God. How about us wanting to be here because we love God and us wanting to be here because we love each other? I don't want to be anyplace else. And I want to develop a relationship. Maybe we just, again, we need more probably leadership to the point to where we understand that everybody has somebody who is loving them. So we're not just doing a shotgun effect and we shoot it and we say, I hope they're getting loved. I'd rather have the hope because of what I know. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. And God says the same thing with that. So we've been on this journey since July, or since January up until July, that we looked at John. You know, and I think John is a great beginning to hear his expression because he really loved Jesus. And he knew that Jesus loved him. That's why he called himself the one in whom Jesus loved, the beloved disciple. He knew Jesus loved him. But, you know, John's love seemed to extend a lot more mature kind of love. And you see it at the cross of Jesus. That a good friend in whom Jesus, who John loved, he knew he was the Messiah. He knew he was the Lord. And he was the only one that stood at the foot of the cross. I think his maturity of love had gone to the point that I don't really care what happens to me at the cross. If they throw a fourth cross up there and nail me to it, so be it. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be standing right beside of Jesus' mother. Because I'm going to express my love. See, sometimes we see the love relationship only one-sided in our relationship with Jesus. You're thankful for how much He loves you, but what about loving Him? How much do you love Him? Jesus shares through John, you love me by obeying my commandments. And really what that means is that he's not trying to take away your life. He's trying to give you life. And he's just saying that you trust what he teaches is the best for you. No matter if you understand it or it makes no sense at all, you're going to do it anyways because you love him. If I need to love the unlovable, I'm going to have to learn how to love the unlovable. Why? Because that is loving Jesus' command. And so we hear that, and we heard that all through John. And John said, I write these things down. I even shared with you these miracles that he did so that you might believe that Jesus is truly the Messiah sent. Because all those years, they were waiting for the Messiah. The Holy Scriptures of the Old Testament was explaining that there was going to be a Messiah come. And they were waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Until I have a feeling that they waited, a lot of people waited to say, oh, I've heard that before. Well, guess what? Here we are on the other side of Jesus in the cross, and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And I wonder if sometimes us as believers get to the point saying, I've heard those before. How many actually have caught themselves believing you have tomorrow? You actually expect to get up tomorrow, right? If that starts to override a lot of reality, and I know it's an easy cliche to say, live each day like it's your last. Well, I know yesterday's gone. Tomorrow we don't know about. So today, make life abundant today. And Jesus is the only way to do it throughout the day. And he'll affect your future as he gives you each day. A dawn of every day is an opportunity for you to love Jesus all day long as you represent him to other people. Because he loved people. You know, say, oh, yeah, you get up in the morning, you go to work. You know, every person that you go to work with, Jesus loves. You know, the mail person that brings you your mail 5 days later than what you expected it to get there, you know, Jesus loved them too. You know, the person at Walmart that's a new trainee because having a hard time finding people that really want to work, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. To the point, what do? Say something smart? Or do you love them? Express to them, you're doing great. Hang in there. You're doing a really good job. Because I guarantee you, 99 out of 100 people has already told them how bad they're doing. You be the one that says they're doing great. Jesus showed us true love. And we understand that as we go through life, we need to live by his name. There's power in his name. There's revival in his name. There's transformation in his name. There's loyalty. There's promise in his name. And we went down to a series of names of Jesus that we could live by on a daily basis. Now we're coming to life together. Now we've got to get the love that Jesus has for us and how we can live each day to get through life with him and our belief in him to our relationship with each other. That's where our commitment to Jesus can really, really drop off and you accept it. Oh, I love Jesus Christ, okay? I go to church, I give the tithe, I give an offering, I take the communion, I do the... And it's a checklist of rules that we've made into a ritual, and the relationship totally has gone out the window, and one of the prime relationships that Jesus taught in Scripture was the relationship as believers and disciples going into the world and having a relationship. Not following evil, but going and having an impact of good towards evil. And so we'll get where we'll draw the line and say, I'll just do my own thing with Jesus. Heard a song yesterday that you can't love God if you don't love your neighbor. You ever heard that one? You believe it? Well, first and greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second one, what's it say? It's just like it, just about like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now that's where we draw the line. We'll say, well, I'll love God first, but love my neighbor, no. I surely can actually dislike people, right? I believe when we invite people to things that we get together on, no matter if there's 20 people show up or show, you know, I keep praying for the day that we understand as a body of Christ, if you can't be there, we're not going to police you. But if you could be there, we want you there. I don't care when, what we're doing, if it's having a hot dog over at the house. And we're inviting neighbors from our neighborhood. I would like to see, let my neighborhood see what it's like for disciples to have a loving relationship with each other. One of the ways they saw that my neighborhood is noticing. They noticed how many cars came to the house after Megan's passing. Now, you know what I'd like to grow it to? It doesn't take a tragedy like that, but people just want to hang out with the Bibbies. What's all those cars doing over there? Oh, they just come to hang out. When they stay past 9 o'clock, I just tell them, lock the door, turn off the lights, I'm going to bed. Because they like being together. They love it. Can't get enough of it. They crave it. Because they have some kind of bond that the rest of the world don't have. Now, sports in America, there's a certain bond. You like a certain team, you bond up with other people who likes that team, you'll go watch it. Game with them and do all this other stuff. Tailgating was a big thing. Now, tailgating doesn't always have to have alcohol, but you can tailgate in a pure way and hang out together because you have a common bond with a team. Now, we understand that. What's family reunions for? Why have them? Because there's a common bond with other people that were born into your physical family, right? Or your named family. And you have certain reunions. Some people still have them. Does anybody still have a family reunion every year? Okay. Well, why? Isn't that an awful lot of trouble? They say, but why? Well, we can say, well, we just routinely do it. Or we can say, because we like meeting together as family. And I would think the comparison to God's family and an earthly family should be a pretty large size gap as we mature in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to journey on, because this is just a review. This is just a review. Because we're going to learn about how serious sin is in the letter that John writes that's called 1 John. It's not a very long letter, but man, it's got a lot in it. We're going to talk about the seriousness of helping each other with sin. You know, the reason why I think sometimes as a church we don't like getting close together is because you might see something in me that's not like Christ. Well, I believe there's relationships that can be built to a level over a period of time that you could have a conversation with a family member about a certain attitude that doesn't match up to Jesus's, and you just want to share it with them. I think I've told you, I had a slang word for God when I was in college. I used it all the time. I wasn't saying God's name in vain, but I was using a slang word for God and was using God's name in vain. And that was gosh. I had a friend of mine, he said, I hear you saying that a lot. Now, we had built a relationship. If he would have just come off the street, or you just come over to me and saying, I got something to challenge you with and something to, you know, to tell you, you need to quit saying gosh. I would probably have said, okay, let me nitpick at you a little bit, right? But because we have been through life together, and we've gone through situations together, and we've shared life together, we had joyful times, we had sad times, and we built a certain bond, I didn't feel mad at him. I was just mostly like, I just never even thought I said it that much. Thanks for hearing it so I can work on it. And I'll try with a better effort to catch myself saying it. And it increased the bond. I'm afraid our church relationships are so shallow that if we ever talked or saw something that just wasn't right with God, we would say nothing to each other. Nothing. Nothing at all. Now, there's a way to go about it in love, and there's not a way to go about it. Okay? John's going to explain the way to go about it. Something that we realize. I found out this one thing. Helping other people see a sin that you might be seeing that they don't see in themselves. What helps them is when you talk about yourself as being a sinner. That struggles too. It definitely takes. Because usually what we do is what? If somebody approached you and said, I'm just seeing this attitude, or I'm seeing this action, or I'm seeing this, and I'm not sure if you're seeing it in yourself, and it's sin here, described in Scripture. I have a feeling that if they hear from you all the things that you know about yourself that you're still struggling with, and that you say, I want to come alongside you, and why don't we work on it together? It will help me by helping you with yours so I won't fall into the same trap. Because is everybody here capable of doing the same sin? I'll tell you, it's one of the subtle ones. It's not about, you know, remember the rich young ruler? Well, I didn't murder anybody this week. Oh, I got pretty mad at him, but I didn't murder him. I didn't commit adultery this week. I didn't lie this week. But you know, did you hear about Sister So-and-so? Let me talk to you about Sister So-and-so. I'm Sister So-and-so. We get in our little huddles to talk about Sister So-and-so. And I've had this plenty in ministry. And it mostly has happened in church. People come to me to complain about somebody else. And want to know what I want to do about it. I said, all I know is I'm going to tell you what Jesus said to go back. You go to him. Well, I'm not going to him. If you want to be obedient to Jesus Christ, you're the one that needs to go. And if you don't go, zip it. Or as Barney Fife would say, nip it in the bud. Just take care of it. Forget about it. If you're not willing to go yourself. So, those are the things that we're going to learn through 1 John. We're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about truth and error. We're going to talk about assurance. So, in assurance, one of the things, too, I wanted to mention to you that we're going to talk about is when the Bible talks about fellowship, it holds a deeper meaning than what we have given the word fellowship. And it talks about, really, we're going to find out next week, Lord's willing, that fellowship is an actual living in the light of Jesus Christ. And as you follow the light of Jesus Christ, and I follow the light of Jesus Christ, then we have fellowship. Now you'd say, what about fellowship dinners? Well, why don't we just reword it and say, the people who are fellowshipping in life are eating together. Fellowship is not an event. Fellowship is a relationship as you're walking in the light of Jesus Christ. The main verse that I wanted to make sure that we get as we start this introduction, go ahead to the next slide, is this one. Would you read it with me? I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now remember, he writes John so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now he writes this letter to say, I write these things in this letter, those who now believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And really, if you want to highlight it in your Bible, highlight the word know. You actually know. Because your relationship with Jesus is like John standing at the cross. You know. You're looking forward to being with Jesus. And if you don't know, you can get to know. Go ahead and get your communion prepared cups. We're going to spend some time in meditation, and then I'll read some passages to you, and then we'll pray. But my question is about the sin, the family of God, this relationship with God, this assurance that you know that you have eternal life. Is your full walk and understanding, your whole relationship with Jesus, And so, there's only one way, and that's through the blood. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. So let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Well, Father, we come before you getting ready to journey into a very heart of reality, things that are real and living in this world today. And we want to confess that as we look through John, and as we've been praying to you, that open our hearts to you, Lord, that we will see Jesus high and lifted up and the love that is displayed. And Father, we see that as we remember and how it's mentioned in these passages, the curtain that was torn, it resembles a body that had been torn and broken for us, that we have an avenue because of Jesus to enter into this holy place, to live in holiness with you. But Father, also, through the blood of Jesus Christ is the only way that we can have our sins forgiven. And so we bring our sins to the foot of the cross so that his blood will drip and flow and wash away our sins. Father, you've made promises. Through Jesus, we hear him say that we need to know the way, that we know the way to where Jesus is right now, so that we can walk that way, live that way, and that what you have promised is that through him, Jesus is preparing a place for us, and that your house, Father, has many rooms. And where there is a vacant room, there is a person that you love, that you would love for us to reach out to. Thank you for making our room and preparing our room. It gives us hope. And then also, it allows us to know that we can have eternal life with you. May our eternity start now with the way that we live and for who we live for. And you will be faithful in your promise that you will give us eternal life through Jesus Christ. May he be our King, our Lord, our Savior. And it's through him we pray. Amen. Amen. Go out and live that today and have a Jesus-filled week.